We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it.
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man.
Commitment to fucking plain defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That thing was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler. Butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwing. Thank you for joining us down here in Washington, D.C. this March 17th, 2016, St. Patrick's Day. Thanks for listening here. Follow us on Zardcast on the Twitter. Zardcast.com is the website. Zardcast@gmail.com is the email address. You should subscribe in iTunes, Overcast, Downcast, Google Play, whichever you may prefer. And really, more than anything, the review is nice, but you really should just tell a friend. That's the most helpful thing you could do if you enjoy listening to us throughout the season. But frankly, it's probably almost over after tonight's game. Wizards squeak out a win against the 76ers, but it wasn't promising. David Koepfer, you sat to my left. You still sit to my left throughout that 76ers game. How are you?
A little bit shell-shocked after that. That was a lot that just happened.
I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah.
Really rattled there. We're going to get into this Philadelphia 76ers game in just a minute. We'll run through two awful road losses for the Wizards. We'll also talk about two great home wins for them as well. A couple special guests here tonight. First of all, in just a second, we're going to have Connor Dirks from truthaboutit.net. join us here and talk about that Sixers game, Wizards as a whole. We'll get into it with him, all things So Wizards. And then later on in the episode, because it's St. Patrick's Day, little treat for you, we're going to have a real live leprechaun on.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, last minute booking. You know, he reached out. His name's Seamus. He wanted to kind of expound upon the plights of the modern day leprechaun, how it's tough to find work, how he doesn't really like this, you know, the plastic patties, if you will. So we'll get into all that with Seamus the leprechaun.
I'd imagine it's Seamus.
Is it Seamus?
Oh, I think okay. So. Well, I think that's, don't want to, I know that we had a little bit of a pronunciation issue with Ben, and I don't want to run into the same issue.
I don't know what it, you're right, Dave. I don't know what it is with me. I can't. I don't know. I'm an English language guy. If you get outside, I mean, Seamus is an English language name, so that blows that out of the water.
But it's like old English, like Beowulf English.
Yeah,
not even the same language, really.
I would agree. I've read a lot of Shakespeare growing up. It's not how we talk. It's not the same language. You need the Cliff Notes next to it just to decipher it all. So we'll get into it. With Seamus, with Connor momentarily. I guess while we're waiting for Connor to turn up, we could talk a little bit about the 76ers game that just went down. You don't really want to, Dave, but I think we have to do it. As we called it last week, our gloomy duty.
Our gloomy duty.
And gloomy duty is what the Wizards had in their pants in the second half of this game, because they were up by as many as 24. They looked good in the first half. For the first couple of minutes of the third quarter, they looked okay. And then they gave the ball away like 12 times. And really, they allowed the 76ers in this game until the very end. I think it tightened up. I think when they tied the game, it hadn't been tied since like 16s. So they came a long way. Fortunately, the Wizards were able to pull it out. But it wasn't fun. John Wall sneaks in the triple-double there. I guess that works, but it was certainly a ride. One we weren't anticipating having. We were thinking we'd have a nice relaxing Thursday evening, and that just didn't really pan out.
Early on, really at halftime, Wall was, you know, well on his way to a triple-double. Wasn't shooting well. He figured he'd get it, though. And at halftime, I actually thought, you know, this is exactly how I want this game to play out. And I should have known, when is the last time the Wizards have had a game play out like you hope or expect or could even imagine it would play out, really.
Never. I mean, the last four games are perfect examples.
Yeah.
Good times. So the Wizards, they do get the win. They look very much shaky. Phil Chenier called it at half. He was like, this is a nice big lead for the Wiz, but I'm a little bit concerned that they haven't really, gone to that playoff intensity that they really need to have every night if they really do want to make the playoffs. And what a seer he was, because they coughed the ball up probably 12 plus times in that third quarter and
yeah.
Just let the 76ers waltz right back in right when they had this game pretty much sewn up. I mean, John could have gotten some rest. I think that is a little bit of part of the issue. I mean, he was playing full speed offense and defense the last two nights, really a catalyst in the last two wins, his defensive effort especially. And tonight he's just sloppy. And, if he's sloppy, everyone else is going to be sloppy.
Right. And, well, I think part of it had to do with it was the 76ers that they were playing. And there are no real consequences to playing very bad basketball against the 76ers. It's only when you turn into a full-on train wreck for a really long period of time that you're going to get hurt by the 76ers. And you know how there's that, like old wives' tale about how if you put a frog in a pot and like gradually heat it up, the frog won't ever know that it's getting hotter if it's just gradually heating up over time. That's what it was like. Like it never became a thing that was hurting them, even though they turned the ball over 12 times. They were still up by like 12, 15 for a lot of the third quarter. And then all of a sudden things had snowballed and they were so far out of any kind of rhythm that it got all the way back to tied.
Do you think that's true? I think the frogs probably feel it.
We've cooked
some frogs on a grill before.
We could try it next podcast.
I don't know how we judge their feeling levels, but
I think that's the thing, is that it won't hop out. Like if you put it over direct heat, it'll definitely hop out real quick. But if you just slowly, and I don't know what the like point. I mean, I guess it's just a thing that is used as a metaphor, but I don't know why anyone would ever have found that out to begin with.
You'd need like a really tall pot so they couldn't just jump straight out of it immediately.
Well, I think the idea is that it doesn't feel the need to jump out until it's dead, because you're just gradually heating it up. And so it's an idea of like gradual change over time will kill you, and only once, something drastic happens do you actually recognize what's going on.
I guess my question is, what is keeping the frog in the pot?
Just general laziness,
I would imagine. Wouldn't it be scared of the humans putting it inside the pot for this experiment? I understand what you're saying.
I think we'd need some kind of frog psychologist to, I don't know.
I can't say for sure.
Yeah.
I bet there are a lot of frogs in Ireland. Maybe Seamus knows something about that. still no word from the Durs, but that's okay. We can keep on chatting here. So they win this game. We can take a look at the Eastern Conference standings a little bit later, which I preemptively put on the notes here because now they don't really apply. But let's talk about the last couple games. So, the Wizards, they were on this three-game snowball, tough losses to the Pacers and the Blazers, but they were like, you know what? We got the Jazz and the Nuggets on the schedule back-to-back. John Wall, he says this is the season. We got to win these two games. They look hopeless in Utah.
I turned that game off real early. I just couldn't. Because for me, I also thought, after he said that and just like looking at what the schedule was, I also kind of had the feeling that these two games were going to be the season, and they just came out and looked like such dog shit that I started feeling real bad. And I didn't watch for, I don't know, whenever they got down by like 10, I just stopped watching.
I mean, I didn't watch a whole lot of the Utah game. Was busy on Saturday. But when I saw the score for that one, too, I was really kind of taken out of it. Like we've talked about before, it's tough to invest the time, let alone the emotion, in this team. And when they go out and shit the bed like they did, and then especially blowing in the fourth quarter to Denver, You know, it's encouraging for them to blow out the Pistons, especially because they're competing with them directly. But, you know, it's kind of like they needed to blow out the Pistons in order to, like, re-engage some people and maybe even themselves.
Right. I don't know, man. It's baffling.
It's pretty awful. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, I mean, those two were as bad of losses as, you know, the two before that were pretty shitty, missing, you know, a ton of free throws and losing games we definitely could have won. That would have been good wins, but then these ones were just really demoralizing. But then they played the Pistons.
They blow them out at home, which is great, and then they do the same to the Bulls on Wednesday, which was excellent as well. Always love to trample the Bulls. We'll get into all these games in just a few minutes. But for now, let's welcome Connor Dirks from Truth About It to the show. Okay, joining us now, Connor Dirks from truthaboutit.net. Glad to have him on the pod. He's the second Truth Abouter that we've had on the podcast. Connor, have you been on your own website's podcast? Because I listen to it pretty frequently, and I don't think I've ever heard you on there.
I've made one appearance, so you're now equaling the podcast appearances on Zardcast that I have on Truth About It's podcast.
You got to muscle your way in there, man.
I think I'm going to be on Sunday.
Excellent. Can't wait to hear you on there. And you also... You have a connection to, so I do a Maryland Terrapins podcast as well, and one of my co-hosts, your cousin Daniel Dirks,
right?
I wish I would have had him on here. I've long wanted to do the Between Two Durs segment.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell him I'm disappointed at him when I see him next Christmas.
He's lazy. All right, well, let's talk Zards. Did you watch that Sixers game there? That was a little bit of a ride.
Yeah, there's nothing like scoring 15 points in the third quarter. But I guess I'm glad to see them win.
Yeah, I guess that's like the bare minimum. Yes,
they did technically win.
Yeah, what would Randy Whitman say? God, he says the same thing after every, you know, small win against a bad team. It's like, I'm never going to apologize for a win.
Well, he should apologize for that one.
Oh, my God. What a disaster.
Yeah, you know, it's good now that they've beaten the Sixers every time they played the Sixers. I don't know if you remember last season when they had that nice little run where they lost to Minnesota and Philadelphia, mm-hmm. I think within 3 days of each other, but maybe even on a back-to-back. Avoiding that is good, but the Wizards are obviously not a very good team.
Before you hopped on with us, Dave floated a theory about the frog theory in the...
I like the sound of it. I don't know what that is.
We've already talked at length about it, but I feel the need to get back into it again.
Please.
The Wizards were basically a frog in a pot, and they don't really... If it's heated gradually, as Dave explained, they don't really notice the temperature increase, and that's kind of...
Until they're boiling?
Yeah.
Exactly. And the Sixers are that pot. Of, you know, very lukewarm water, and it wasn't apparent that they were about to get boiled to death until it was almost too late.
Yeah, I like it. You know, they started off, it's so funny. I mean, this team is really pretty fragile. They feel good about themselves. They have two straight wins. They're beating the hell out of the Sixers in the first half, and just like that, it's like they're on top of the world again, enough to stop paying attention.
That's three games in a row. They beat the Pistons on Monday. They beat the Bulls on Wednesday. You know, we see a lot of these like, oh, man, the Wizards, they got 9%. They got 22%. 3% chance to make the playoffs.
I got an issue with those things. They're not predictive, right? They're just like, they just kind of reflect whatever has already happened. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I guess they are predictive, but it... Like you just said, it really changes, you know, 8%. I'm going to sound, someone who knows about statistics is going to listen and be like, whoa, this guy's such a dingus.
I'm pretty sure there aren't any of those people that listen to this podcast, so.
Okay, then I'm going to keep going. It just, whatever. Yeah, a 9% chance, a 28% chance. If they win tomorrow, it'll be up to, what, 31%? Who knows?
But that's like, you know, when it gets down to like 9%, or I mean, you're right. It could be like 31% tomorrow, but they're, you know, a game and a half out of the eight slot.
Yep.
Like that, you, I feel like you should get at least like a 40% if you're a game and a half out. Like that's not a whole lot.
I mean, maybe it's taking into account the fact that the Wizards are the kind of team that'll go on a 5-game losing streak when they,
true.
You know, in all must win games and just lose all five. So, I'm fine with some sort of predictive model not giving the Wizards a lot of credit.
Yeah, that number couldn't go low enough where I would be like, oh, that doesn't seem realistic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Do you think the Wizards will make the playoffs just straight up?
In
or out?
Out.
Out. Fair.
Yeah.
We were looking at the schedule. They've got plenty of winnable games, but they've also got some, you know, they got the Hawks on that back-to-back. They got to go back out to the West Coast where they don't really play well.
It was like right after the Markieff Morris trade and Ted Leonsis got on Twitter and started, he tweeted a few things. The first one was that the Wizards had more man games lost to injury than any other team in the NBA, and that they have, if you count every game missed by every player on every team, the number is the highest for the Wizards. And then he followed it up by tweeting something about strength of schedule, in that the Wizards have played one of the toughest schedules in the NBA. So he likes to say stuff like that, and that's fine. It's just the team just lost 5 games. Some of them were really winnable. And now they've won 3 straight, which is nice. 2 of them against teams they need to beat. But it's just, you know, I don't know that you can give the team a lot of credit or chances to be above 500 for the rest of the season, which is what they're going to need to do.
Absolutely. I think that a lot of people, I guess the consensus is they got to make it to 41 to 43 wins, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about 10 more wins overall.
So they're 33 and 35 now?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not a long way to go. They basically have to play just a little bit over 500 for the rest of the year, but they haven't been able to do that all year.
It's been a little bit problematic. Connor, I don't want to, we've just met over the internet. I don't want to put labels on you, but sometimes, and especially recently, obviously, you get a little melancholy on truthaboutit.net. You know, you like to wax poetic about how shitty the Wizards are, and I appreciate it. I like reading it a lot. So in that vein, who do you hate more, Randy Whitman or Ernie Grunfeld? You have a lot of firepower, both of them, as most Wizards fans do. But
yeah,
I just wanted to get your read on
Whitman, and I think that'll probably be unpopular, especially among the people I blog with. But something that happened recently kind of illustrated the reason for that for me. It was the Wizards 2 games ago switched up their pick and roll defense, and that's like all they've been talking about after the games. And I was at the Chicago game yesterday, and again, Wall was talking about how they switched up their pick and roll defense. At the beginning of the year, they were running basically 2v2, and then they would give up layup lanes and just guard on the outside. Then they switched and they said, hey, we got to prevent the layups, and they're giving up the three pointer. And at one point, teams were shooting a historic 3-point percentage against them, so it wasn't working. And then they got into this complicated thing where everyone's staying home and it just wasn't working out. And then 2 games ago, you know, they decided to switch it. So the question is, what was happening in those 50 games in between where they weren't making that adjustment? And that's, I think, where Whitman really hurts you, is that you have a talented team with some really good players, and you have Wall, obviously, and the guy doesn't make adjustments unless it's for a playoff series. I think it's a real weakness in the regular season. Grunfeld stinks, but I think he's just mediocre. He'll get you to a 4 or 5 seed. A good coach could get you higher.
I also thought to your point about Whitman and the defense, when they were talking about that on the broadcast tonight, Chris Miller, is that the guy's name that does, like, the sideline?
Yeah.
He was saying that when they talked to Randy about it, and how all the players were like, we decided this was a thing that we, like, needed to change up. And then apparently Whitman said that he, like, put the onus on the players, like, that they hadn't been telling him what was going on out there on the court or something, that, and that it couldn't all be on the coaches to set the game plan. That's entirely your job description, I would think.
Yeah. Exactly. They're playing a basketball game. Like, the adjustments are up to the coach. And he's got a team that'll basically run through a wall for him, at least for the last few years. They've always had his back in exit interviews and all that. So it's not like the team wouldn't do what he said.
Right. Even though I'm sure it gets real frustrating when they are doing what he says and then they lose and then he comes out and kills them in the post game talking about effort. Yep. And intensity.
Yeah, and I think that Wall's always been so good about it. But smart guys like Jared Dudley and Wall, like who know what's going on and probably have thoughts as to what they should do. I mean, you've seen Wall with the clipboard, right?
Right.
I think it's rough to kind of hear the coach essentially chalk it all up to effort and move on.
I have to think. I mean, you know, we're talking about everyone normally as Randy's back and everything like that, but I got to think Gortat hates the shit out of Randy.
Yeah.
He always dogs him.
Randy's so mean to him.
And he's really, really rude. I agree.
He's the second best player on the team right now. Like,
right. And
yeah.
And arguably the most consistent player on the entire team.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Gortat certainly has the Prince's crown, right? For second best player on the team for the last few years. I guess 2 years ago you could argue Trevor Ariza was close, but it's been Gortat. Beal, in theory, is supposed to be that guy, but he's not there yet.
And sometimes he gets benched for the whole fourth quarter.
And it's so insane.
He is a real pro, because you can tell he's a sensitive guy, in, like, some of the things that he says. But he's towed the line a couple times, but he's never come out and been like, man, this guy's a real dickhead.
I don't want to say he's been ducking media this year, but in previous years, he'd always stick around. He'd always talk to the media. He's incredibly candid, joking. Sometimes, like, when he has a big game, he'll be there this year, but usually he just kind of steps out before we get in there.
Don't blame him. That's certainly changed.
I want to ask you real quick about Bradley Beal there. We mentioned a moment ago, I feel like regardless of what happened this season, the Wiz will at least get rid of Randy, if not Grunfeld as well. We can at least cross our fingers for that. But I feel like the biggest thing they have to do is probably re-sign Bradley Beal, but his leg continues to hurt, the stress fracture in his right fibula. Do you feel like the Wizards, they just, like, have to sign him? They don't really have a choice? Possibly to the max. Maybe the NBA will, you know, decide he's not completely worth that. I feel like the Wizards are kind of stuck there, and I think that's, like, their biggest offseason move.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the Bradley Beal situation?
I think the Wizards, I mean, you always have a choice, but if the Wizards don't max them, someone else will. So the Wizards will max them. And that maybe is simplistic, but you've got teams out there like the Sixers, the Kings, Dallas, you know, teams like that, they're going to max the player. The Sixers probably think they are desperate to compete, and they have a big hole at guard. I don't know why I'm getting into it. The Wizards are going to max them.
Yeah.
They did it with Wall. Wall obviously deserved it, right? But Bradley's more of an open question.
A lot of people said Wall didn't deserve it either.
A lot of people did.
I remember Zach Lowe wrote an article saying that he would probably end up deserving it, but they didn't need to do it as early as they did, and that maybe he wouldn't end up being worth it.
Yeah, and I, in theory, I really like that perspective where you say, like, why not wait? What's the risk in waiting? But I think that fails to take into account, and I'm going to sound like, you know, like a Comcast Sportsnet, like semi quasi team employee here. But I think it fails to take into account the fact that you do need to manage these guys' personalities and kind of manage where they are. And Wall, you know, he wanted to get it done early. They knew they were going to keep him. They could have waited maybe, but then maybe he spends the year being pissed off.
Oh, for sure. And maybe he spends this year being pissed off.
Exactly.
You know, like, so you got to build up some goodwill where you can.
You can't make all your choices based on, like, oh, is this going to be rude to the player and will he hate me? But when you're dealing with your best player or second best player, young guys, I think you got to take it into consideration. And truth is, they're going to max him eventually. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll put that one to bed. Another one for you here. You're very much a, you embrace the So Wizards lifestyle. I want to know what for you this season, what's been the most terrible So Wizards thing for you? Has it been Alan Anderson being perpetually injured, giving away a first rounder, Kelly Oubre not seeing the floor, a game like against the 76ers tonight? There's a lot to dislike, and I want to know what Connor Dirks dislikes the most.
So, other than just kind of the tide that's been coming in and out all year where they blow games against beatable teams, and I could cop out and say it's like just kind of the overall vibe of this team. But I think it really is that trade they made. And not that I have anything against Markieff Morris, really. But I just think it was a very So Wizards thing to do to not protect that pick through the lottery. I don't doubt that they bid against themselves. I know they felt like they needed to make a deal, but they left themselves in a really vulnerable position where if they do miss the playoffs, they end up giving up a lottery, a slim chance for a top three pick, but more importantly, just a lottery pick. Whereas if you lottery protect it, then you do what they seem to think they're going to do and really improve in the off season by signing one or two big free agents, then you're really good next year and you convey that pick when you're very good and the pick is worth less. So they let themselves, they let Phoenix talk them into basically the perfect range for Phoenix of where the pick might fall, which is top nine, right? Phoenix knows the Wizards aren't going to fall below that. And obviously they keep the pick if they miss the playoffs and win the lottery. But Phoenix knows that they're going to be right around 10, 11, 12, 13. And so they'll get the Wizards pick and they'll be very pleased.
Yeah, that, I mean, the whole thing, I mean, I'm with you. I think Markieff's actually been great. He's been a great addition to the team so far. And I mean, really the kind of need that they should have gotten in the offseason, they should have filled there. But, I mean, it really does. I mean, there haven't been, like, a whole lot of definitive reports about this. We've seen some stuff out of, you know, like, the Phoenix front office. But, like,
right, there was Insider article.
Yeah, and, I mean, it really does seem like there wasn't, like, a whole lot of clamoring for Markieff Morris, which
it's,
we don't really know.
They were trying to shop him for a long time.
It's interesting, though, that just the reputation for being a bad GM can make it way harder to be a GM because you know that Phoenix, when they are talking to Ernie Grunfeld, they're like, bro, you're going to get fired if you don't make the playoffs. You don't really have any leverage here. So
they know he needed it.
Right.
Right. I don't think any other team was offering a mid first round pick for Markieff Morris. And that's the issue. It's that if the Wizards lottery protected, it's just, you know, it's still a mid first round pick. But it protects them against missing the playoffs. I don't miss DeJuan Blair and Chris Humphreys. That aspect to me, that I don't care about that. But it just seemed like they could have got it for less. And maybe that's nitpicking, but it really encapsulated the way that Grunfeld has run the operation for the last decade plus.
Let's hope that decade plus reign ends this year.
Yeah.
I think I heard on the Sports Junkies today, like the other NBA GMs that are as tenured as long as he is, they all have NBA championship rings. So,
well, and Randy Whitman also has the worst, I probably read it on your site, Connor, the worst record for a coach that's coached however many games. Like, he has the worst in NBA history for somebody who's coached maybe like 200 games.
Yeah, and that's after the last 2 years where he's been improving on it with winning records. He, before he became the head coach of this Wizards team and after that first year with the Wizards, man, that was a terrible, terrible winning percentage. And it's certainly improved since then, but he can't, he's not a great NBA coach, not a great NBA head coach.
You know, those, when you were talking about how Ted put up those, was tweeting about like, man games lost to injury and strength of schedule. I really was surprised that he is paying that close attention to the Wizards based on like how long he's let their front office stagnate like this. I didn't think he was that like plugged in. You would think if he was looking into that much detail about it, he would say maybe it's time to change things. But maybe someone just sent him a DM and was like, here, check this out. You could tweet this and defend what you're doing.
So I don't know if you guys follow the Caps at all, but I think it's my understanding that the year that they missed the playoffs is the year he finally axed the GM, the long, long-standing GM there.
Yeah, George McKee.
Yep, and head coach. So he's a bottom-line type owner. If they don't make the playoffs, he misses out on a ton of money. He's going to be really upset. So meanwhile, I think he viewed the last few years as building towards something, and he thought, what's the harm of having Randy Whitman still around? The players like him. We've won, you know, more games than the team has in a long time, in my lifetime. So what's the harm? But I think you're seeing the harm, which is that guys don't – the guys who are borderline don't develop as much as they should, and the guys who are great – don't get a chance to play for a really good team.
Such is life as a Wizards fan.
Tell me about it.
Is there anything else you'd like to get off your chest before we let you go? The floor is yours if there's anything you want to discuss.
No, I'm good, man. I really appreciate you opening the floor and having me on. It's been fun.
Thanks for coming on. Much appreciated. His name is Connor Dirks from truthaboutit.net. You can find all of his fine work over there. Thanks for joining us, Connor.
All right, have a good night, guys.
Shall we press on to the evening, Dave?
Sure.
Let's get in. I mean, we've been at it for, you know, a good while now. So let's run through these games. Let's look at the playoff picture. We'll call up our Leprechaun friend who I told him we'd call him a little bit earlier. We'll see if he's still awake. He runs off of rainbow power, and there are no rainbows at 10:20 at night, so we shall see. Let's drag all the way back. We'll gloss over this one. As we said before, the Wiz, they lose to the Jazz 114-93 last Friday. John Wall declared these next two games are the season. Bullets Forever had a really good like viney type thing of John despondently looking up at the scoreboard with some slow sad music playing. Mm-hmm. As Shelvin Mack, former Wizards draft pick, second round draft pick, torched them for 27. I don't think this is the first time Shelvin Mack has stuck it to the Wizards.
No, I'm sure he did it when he was with the Hawks.
Yeah,
I think.
Definitely. And, you know, to make it all worse, the Jazz are one of the worst scoring teams in the league. They laid out 114 points on the Wizards. Over the two games between the Wizards and the Nuggets, having a lot of problems with the pick-and-roll action. Utah's guards doing whatever they wanted and able to lob it in to Rudy Gobert, Derek Favors all evening long. It was just a mess. Don't think there's a whole lot to be said here.
No, I mean, like I said, I turned it off early on. Clear they didn't have it, and I mean, what would that say about me if that was how I spent my evening?
That's true. You know, a lot of times, like, especially with these two, you know, initially I'm thinking about, you know, on Sunday, I'm thinking about doing the podcast, doing this one, the Maryland pod, I'm like, ah, man, I didn't really watch those games on Friday and Saturday as much as I, you know, probably should have to fulfill my duties. But, I mean, that just means I have life on top of all this. So I think it's good. I think we come out on top overall. Same deal with Saturday night. We can get into some non-game action here. The Wiz, you know, they look good for about three quarters there. It looks like they're going to at least grab one of these. And if they would have grabbed one, it probably would have been okay, like, you know, marginally better. You know, they were under Denver's thumb for a while, but they're able to grab a 10-point lead at the end of the third quarter. Able to keep it between a 9 and 11 but for the first few minutes of the fourth. But Denver goes on a 14-0 run. They never give it back. Just a really sad full collapse here for the Wiz. And as we said, we weren't really watching. We were out romping around having a good time, Dave.
Exactly. I'm trying to look at the box score here to see how this even happened. I mean, the Nuggets haven't been trying to win for a while. Since Gallo went down, I mean, they have, let's see.
Yeah, they sunk their season a while ago.
Sure, Darrell Arthur, 17 points.
Sure, why? Darrell Arthur.
Oh. DJ Augustine. Ugh. Gary Harris with 17. Man, that is all. I don't even know who this Axel Toupain is, a real guy that scored 8 points against the Wizards.
He's not your made-up 2K player?
Axel Toupain was a plus 24 in this game.
That might have been the best night of Axel Toupain's life.
I mean,
to this point, who knows? We were out. We were closing down. Our friends, they live in a house in Annapolis. They're moving out. It's kind of like a frat house. We spent a lot of time over there the last few years. Closed it down with the keg. And I will say, shout out to all those boys. Our friend, Sacktown Kevin, Kings correspondent, Clemens, Bry, maybe Jason Miller as well. They were nice enough to have us over, and the night was so successful that it ended in a shirtless wrestling match out back at 4 a.m., and that's how you know you had a good time. Although our friend Brian, he probably broke his foot doing it.
I mean, that'll happen. Yeah. Sometimes I'm just glad I wasn't involved, you weren't involved. It's one of those nights you wake up the next morning and you just thank God you're okay and everything's all right. You still own all the things that you owned before.
You have all your wallet and keys and phone with you. None of that stuff is lost. No bodily injuries. You might be a little dirty, but that's the least your worries. So, unfortunately, the Wizards, they didn't have small-time problems like that. Let's press on Monday here. So Detroit, they have a really good chance to whack the Wizards. Put one of the final nails in the Wizards. If they would have lost that game on Monday, I mean, we probably would have done the podcast this week, but we would have considered shutting it down, probably.
Well, just because we would have been dead from killing ourselves.
You can't do a podcast when you're dead. Rule of thumb. Literally my upcoming book on podcasting. But they didn't. The Wizards, instead, they blow out the Pistons. And actually, I had a friend who went to this game, and I was like, it was like his birthday present. I think they got like seats that were closed, the all-you-can-drink, all-you-can-eat bit. And I was like, oh, sorry, you got to go see the sorry-ass Wizards team for your birthday present. And he's not even like a Wizards fan, you know. Mm. But he was treated to a pounding. The Wiz, they jumped out to a 37 lead. They never looked back. Seven guys in double figures. Good times. Story here, as well as against the Bulls, I guess we talked about with Connor. They cured, quote-unquote, their defensive pick-and-roll issues. I don't really know if that's true. I don't expect John Wall or whoever's quotes I was reading to give, like, the most insight about what they were doing on the floor. But, you know, as we talked about, they were like, oh, you know, we just focused on help defense and cutting down, passing, driving lanes, and closing out on shooters. Those are all things you should probably do. I don't know. I mean, I'm no basketball savant or anything, so I don't really... I guess I couldn't explain how all that pertains to the style of defense they were running, but that just seems like basic stuff that they're like, oh, yeah, so this is like, you know, this was obvious. I guess it was obvious after you get blown out by the Jazz and the Nuggets, but...
I mean, I think a big part of it, if they said they were defending, you know, the Pistons, like, whole offense, I feel like runs, is based around Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond, whatever, kind of, like, two-man. And Andre Drummond just looked like a giant piece of shit that whole game. He was just kind of, like, walking up and down the court, not really doing too much.
Looking like he's still reeling from that Jeanette McCurdy breakup.
It's crazy how good he can be sometimes and then just, like, total Roy Hibbert other times. I don't get it, but...
Ooh, I like you calling him a Roy Hibbert. It's a good insult.
It is. I call people that at work all the time. You're being nobody knows what it means, but the tone of voice I use, they get it.
You're being a real Roy Hibbert.
Just dragging this whole operation down.
You know, I think calling someone a Reggie Jackson, someone who's like super overhype and overcompensated, like I should tell people that the higher ups in my company. You know, you're being a real Reggie Jackson right now, not really earning your paycheck.
You know what, though? I feel bad for Reggie Jackson. I do think he's worth his paycheck in, like, under the new cap.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously I agree with Wall that it's – he was just making an observation. Like, it's crazy that this guy who's not nearly as good as me is making as much. But now everyone is like – it's not like Reggie Jackson came out and was like, yeah, I'm as good as John Wall now. Look at my paycheck. Like, yeah. He didn't say any of that stuff.
Yeah, you can never – I can't fault athletes for, you know, earning what their employers are willing to pay them. But I'm sure John Wall, he enjoyed Reggie Jackson's horrendous night. I think he might have scored like 7 points or something. Nothing good. Detroit turned the ball over 21 times. Wiz scored 28 off that. Can't beat that. And Dave, I want to give you some shine on this. Last week we talked about how, or you specifically talked about how, the Wizards, their best play, John Wall, Martian Gortat, pick and roll. And really, that in their two-man game was on full display on Monday night. And that's when they shined brightest. You have an observant eye, Dave.
I mean, I don't think it's...
it's not a controversial or insightful thing. It's just a
thing. The crazy thing is that they don't... Maybe just try to do it like every play for a quarter and see what happens.
Well, I think that's the thing. Is that we don't see it as often as we should.
But, yeah, I mean, I thought Gortat had a nice game.
Brad comes back from his pelvic strain. The will he or won't he drama we hashed out last week, he didn't. He didn't play in Utah or in Denver. And he comes back on Monday. So that was nice.
What is even his deal? Like, did he sit out tonight?
Yeah, he didn't play tonight.
Right. But did he sit out because of the pelvic sprain? Did he sit out just because it was a back-to-back?
I would go back-to-back. I will. I'll do a search on the Twitter here. But actually, when I was getting ready for the pod, I didn't really see anything about him being out.
It's just it's such a bizarre lack of information.
Oh dear. Well, at least he played well on Monday. They needed him for that. So then on Wednesday night, so they're fighting against these two teams, the Pistons and the Bulls. Unfortunately, it seems that the train has been missed on the seventh seed. So there goes that. The Wiz will probably be cannon fodder should they make the playoffs and grab that eighth seed for the Cavaliers. But against the Bulls, they win 117-96. John gets his third triple-double on the season. DC torches the Bulls from three, going 13 for 21. Garrett hits five of them himself in the first half.
This one was cool. I liked this one.
You can't ever really be, you know, no matter where the Wiz are, it's just fun to beat the Bulls.
For sure. I wasn't even worried when I saw that Nene was starting. Nene loves to fuck with the Bulls, so...
You know, I want to call he is the Matador against the Bulls, but I feel like the Matador gets a bad connotation because a lot of times you're like, oh, it's that Matador defense. I'm thinking of the Matador that like stabs the bull in the back of the neck so it dies instantly, kind of Matador when I call him that.
It's a gruesome sport,
yeah.
But I think that applies definitely more than the other
Yeah, I feel like the Matador gets like a very dancey, frilly connotation, but you got to stab a bull in the neck to be a Matador, and that takes some balls. He does do a little the dancey stuff though with the spin moves, and so he does fill out the full profile of it.
I'm enjoying backup Nene much more than I enjoyed starter Nene last year.
Agreed.
A little Nene goes a long way. Way, that's what I would say.
Oh man, rounded it out there. We'll, we're doing our best with the laughs here. We don't really have Duncan here. You know, as we always say, I bring the paper, you bring the beers, Duncan brings the laughs. So,
what a jerk! What is he even doing?
Well, he did leave me a hurried message. He had to hustle down to Puerto Rico for probably the weekend. As you know, he was there over the summer, running some business ventures that I'm really not sure about in general. I don't even know if I can talk about them specifically. I won't, just for my general safety. But he said he had to check on some things and he'd be back next week.
When Bernie Sanders talks about fair trade and offshore and foreign businesses hurting both people here and abroad, that is what he's talking about. The kind of shit that Duncan is.
Yeah, because he's dodging those income taxes.
He's dodging, human rights violations. He's dodging a lot of things.
The things are pretty loose down in Puerto Rico. It is a U.S. territory, but you might think otherwise should you visit. Just visit the parts that he operates in. I've seen the nice parts of Puerto Rico, but there are also some kind of not the best spots.
It's but you know what? He's always much more relaxed when he comes back from there. Like, you can tell sometimes. He just gets real stressed out and like worked up, and you can just tell he needs to just go to Puerto Rico and do whatever he does to whatever kind of marginalized people he does it to. And, but then he comes back and he's like really pleasant to be around. So,
all right, well, those are all of our games here. We'll take a peek at the Eastern Conference standings and a peek at the next three for the Wiz. But let's dial up our Leprechaun friend Seamus here.
Your goal for Seamus.
Seamus, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about you? Is this the Zardcast lads?
These are the Zardcast lads. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, man. How you doing?
Thank you. And happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well.
We're happy to have you on the show. We're glad you reached out to us. You know, it is an important holiday for your people, and you know, You talked about wanting to illuminate the public on some hardships of your folk, the Leprechaun folk, if you will.
Well, common misconception amongst people nowadays is we Leprechauns are a wealthy sort. This is not the case.
Not the case.
Not the case. You see, we're immortal.
Ah. That
so
money dries
gold
up.
Only lasts so long.
I guess I've never considered that.
Think about if your Bill Gates lived to 744.
I think he'd still be all right.
You think Billy, with inflation?
Do you mind asking how old you are, Seamus?
I don't really know. I've been around since before the rainbows.
Before the rainbows, okay.
Yes, it definitely was around before the rainbows.
That is a long time. I don't know too much about that particular natural phenomenon, but I would think that's something that's been around for a long time.
Well, yes, it has something to do with rain. So the rain's been around for a long time, and I've been around since the rainbows. So it's somewhere around the beginning of rain is how long I've been around, and the gold lasted a long time, and then it started to go, and now it's very sad what I have to do for work.
Could you tell us what you're up to and what you're working at right now, and maybe if you're looking for any other kind of work?
I'll take any work I can get. I'm very grateful for the $20 you've given me for doing the show.
Of course.
Really, today's my best day of the year.
What have you been?
Today is St. Patrick's Day. Is one of the only days of the year I can actually get to New York. But the rest of the year, I do a lot of fraternity parties. they'll hire me by the hour to, you know, just to mill around the party. Last week I was at lots of theme parties, you know. So last week I was at one. What was it? I think it was Scottish Hoes and Irish Bros. I believe was the party. And today's St. Patrick's Day is booming. Bars will give me an arm and a leg to come hang out, but it's only one day a year, you know.
So what are you doing the rest of the year?
That's the problem. I don't have much to do. I just kind of live the hobo life for the most part, and I try to make ends meet with picking up as many fraternity parties as I can.
Sure.
There was a market in pornography for a little while, but the the novelty became less popular after a little while.
Plus, I would imagine. I mean, how many of you, of your people, if that's not an insensitive way to phrase that, how many are there out there?
11 that I know of.
11 that you know of.
Right. 11. Yes, that's including myself.
Including yourself. So when those opportunities come up, they probably get snatched up pretty quickly if they're just.
I mean,
you have to act fast, and particularly with the pornography, you know, that's obviously the top one. That's the one everyone's jumping at. If we're leprechauns, you know, we're folk. We're not real attractive, so you know, that's the one everyone's snatching up, and those ones are tougher to get.
Can I ask how you found your way onto? I didn't know this was happening. Schwenk just told me, you know, once we started, how did you find your way to this particular basketball podcast?
Well, I follow basketball. I try to support anyone who achieves that is smaller than their competition. So I always support whichever team Nate Robinson plays for.
Sure.
I support any redhead. So I used to be a big Brian Scalabrine fan.
Sure. And then
any of the Irish folks. I'm a big Ben McLemore fan. I used to love Rashad McCants.
Sure.
What about McConnell on the 76ers?
Oh, TJ. Love TJ.
What are your thoughts on the Celtics and their Irish stick? Is that authentic, or is that sort of appropriating
plastic pattiness?
I think it's shite. They don't even say the word right. If you're gonna be Celtics, why wouldn't you be Celtics? You're gonna have a fighting Irishman as your mascot. You might as well say the word right.
That's a fair point. That's kind of what I thought, but then I wondered that Celtics team. I believe several years ago had Nate Robinson, Brian Scalabrine, and Shaquille O'Neal on it, which must have been real conflict for you.
That's true. It was a conflict of interest. I did find myself rooting for him just based on my principles. But as soon as those fellows were not on the team, I immediately stopped. It's hard for me to root for Shaquille O'Neal because I found out later in life that he's not Irish. He's actually a genie. And we competing mythical creatures often do not get along.
Who's your least favorite mythical creature?
Probably that bitch Loch Ness monster.
You know what? That makes I wasn't gonna. That wasn't my first thought of where your rivalry might be, but that makes a whole lot of sense.
It's people come to our neck of the woods to see Irishmen, Irish women, and leprechauns, and then there's this silly distraction of this Loch Ness monster a country over, and it just really gets my goat.
Are Ireland and Scotland not the same thing?
No, we're not the same thing.
Are you sure?
No, I've never had any formal education, but I believe we're not the same thing.
Fair enough.
Not the same thing, I've been yelling at a lot of people for a long time for something I shouldn't have been yelled at them for.
What is your you're obviously hustling hard today for St. Patrick's Day. You know, we thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, out of your busiest day of the year. But what is your favorite, just your own personal way of celebrating St. Patrick's Day? Is it eating some corned beef and cabbage, maybe some green beer, some Guinness.
I like to get a rip roaring drunk and fight someone.
You don't win a lot of fights, like though, do get, you?
I don't win a lot of fights. I try to pick easy targets, either other weed folk like myself, but the non mystical variety, just regular old weed folk, or women.
Sure.
just to even the odds.
Have you gotten a fight today, or is it still on your to-do list before midnight?
I'm 0-3 on the day. Two women and one wee lad. All three of them put me down, but I'll not give up. I've another fight to win me in the day.
That's good to hear, Seamus. Is there anything else you want to inform the public about? Just leprechauns in general, your strife, your people, your country.
Well, do you guys know what time of day a leprechaun is most flatulent?
No idea.
Too farty.
Good one. Thanks a lot, Seamus. We really appreciate you you coming on the pod and joining us. We'll have you back on, okay? You know, I floated you, 20 spot to join us. And, you did pretty good. So maybe we can keep this line of work coming along. I know you free up after today, so.
I'll gladly come on air for $20 anytime you call. Bottom of the evening to you.
All right. Big thanks to Seamus. Our second guest. I don't think we've ever had – we've had two guests on at the same time, but never two in one evening, separate occasions. So big night over here at Zardcast.
That guy seemed like a real creep.
Yeah, I mean, the porn angle, the frat party. Like, he's got to
– fighting women.
He's got to get, like, an office job or something. Like, get himself off the streets is what it sounds like. Maybe we can have him, in studio, and we can kind of hash out his life issues and try and get him on the right track. I feel like that might be a good off-season bit, so.
We'll see where it goes.
Stay tuned. Let's wrap this up here. The standings, as far as the standings go, I'm not even going to play the music because it's just, not, Wiz, game and a half back of the Bulls. And the Pistons standing in between. They are half game back of the Bulls for the 8th spot. The Pacers, that is a full 3 games out of the Wizards' grasp right now. So RIP 7 seed hopes, unless the Wizards just go on some insane tear where they, they go like, 750 winning percentage.
If they like never lose again.
Yeah. So that's all there is to that. I guess we do have at least have the obligation to play this week in John Wall, so we can do that right now.
Watch it. John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall of the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circuit shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John Wall. Do it, John
Wall. I think we've highlighted everything under this week in John Wall, but he had the bold statement against the Utah and Denver game. Didn't really come through. He was the driver on the defensive end in that Pistons in the Bulls game as well, with the pick and roll issues. Notched 2 consecutive triple doubles. One against the Bulls, against the Sixers. That's exciting. 4 on the year. And to top it all off, he reffed a special Olympics basketball game because that's the kind of guy John Wall is.
That's very kind of him.
Yeah. Good guy.
What did you think about his triple double tonight? It was one of the strangest ones I've ever seen.
We didn't. I mean, there was a point where we thought he might not even get it.
Yeah.
Because of points.
Right. He had 6, 13 and 14, or 6, 12 and 14 for a while there.
Yeah. He ended up with 13 rebounds and 14 assists. Did get to 16 points, but those 4 to get to 10 were tough to come by. I think he got them all at the free throw line.
I think he hit one like crazy jumper, like one of those Kobe fadeaway, turnaround fadeaways, and then the rest were at the line. And on the very last play of the game, there was like 0.1 seconds left that Ish Smith fouled him, and John was like, "You didn't blow the whistle yet, or the buzzer didn't go off yet. I'm going to the line. I'm shooting these two. I got to get this true shooting percentage up because."
just looking at. John's had problems with Ishmith this season. He scored 20 points tonight. He shot 9 for 25.
Wall did.
Ish did.
Yeah, they were. I mean, Wall went under. I think Wall went every single screen.
He went 4 for 17.
Ooh,
not good either. But I feel like that's Ish Smith's stat line more Ish Smith like. Quickly here, the last three, or the next three, I should say. Knicks at home, and then you got the home and home with the Hawks at Atlanta Monday, Wednesday. Atlanta at home. You know, it's best when we decide on the same record.
I don't think there's any chance they win all three. I'll go 2-1.
2-1 it is. Let's hope that they get that, they sandwich that loss. They got to fucking beat the Knicks on Saturday, no matter what.
Well, you know what? I've been, you know, this has been like a real roller coaster of a season. They keep sort of toying with our emotions. The good news is, like, the next time they collapse for a couple games, we can just be done. We'll just be dead.
And yeah.
We won't have to try to live anymore.
Is it bad that I was hoping to end it all after that Nuggets game?
It was kind of freeing. It was, like, upsetting for a minute, and then it's just, like, I'd imagine what it's, like, drowning feels like real panicky for a second, but then you're just, like, peaceful and...
Wow, we've really taken a dark turn here.
I forgot to bring this up when Connor was talking about Ted. I was up real late on Wednesday, and I had hoped that the Bulls game was going to be replaying. And I turned on CSM when I got home, and there was this weird, like, interview with Ted. And did you know that... what's the guy's? Gene Simmons is his partner for this Arena Football League.
I did not know that.
And it's an interview with him and Gene Simmons of KISS talking about this Arena Football League. And I tried to record it, but the DVR, you know how the DVR like turns off, like going on like overnight when you're up? I don't know if you've ever been up.
No, never. I've never had this thing with the DVR.
But it like cycles where it's trying to turn off and it wouldn't let me rewind or record it. And it was the most bizarre interview. And if anybody could... or like recorded it or saw it or anything, I would love for someone to confirm that I didn't just make this up.
We'll search for it online, and if we find it, we'll post it at Sardcast. That's bizarre. The Arena Football League thing in itself is very strange. I actually talked to my coworker who's a Wizards fan. He's you know, he was probably also looking for a way out after that Nuggets game on Saturday too, but he was like, I'm kind of into the idea of going to arena football games and getting really drunk. And he was like, I was just curious as like how much season tickets would be. And he said he clicked through, he got like a link because he's bought Wizard tickets before and didn't say anything about the price, but the deposit, he thought, told him everything he needed to know.
Too much?
How much do you think it was?
$4,000.
$25.
Oh, okay. I don't know anything about season ticket prices. So.
Me either. The other question he posed was, do you think that they will decrease the price of beer in the Verizon Center during arena football games?
That's where they're having that? I thought they were having it somewhere else.
I thought it was a Verizon Center.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, the field's smaller.
Oh, I have no idea.
And I know those seats on either end of the court, they retract. So I think it's just like a 50-yard field. I don't know. But, I said no. I don't think the beer prices will recede. So
I doubt it. I would think the people that go to Arena Football League games are getting real drunk when they go. So
right. Well, that's. I mean, they're probably making a bunch of money off concessions too. That's probably a good money maker for the Arena Football League. But I'll definitely go, and maybe we'll start a podcast about it. I don't know. I hope they have a naming competition. That's what I really want. Anyway, let's end it on that, Dave. We've been at it for a while. At Zardcast on Twitter, subscribe on iTunes, really just tell a friend. That's the most important thing you could do if you enjoyed the show. Big shout out to Connor Dirks from truthaboutit.net, and Seamus the Leprechaun for joining us tonight. So for my friend, co-host, David Kepper, I'm CT Schwenk. That was Zardcast.